This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And on this Saturday morning, let's welcome in Dave Jenkins. Good morning, David.
Morning, Terry.
And here we are.
March Madness is well underway.
Oh my God, how many...
College edition of March Madness, that is.
Bracket busters have taken place the last 2 days.
Well, there are, as we enter the second round today, there are three 11 seeds.
Uh-huh.
There are two 12 seeds,
okay.
A 13, a 14, and a 15, all
still alive. And kicking.
Yeah, that's a lot of high seeds.
Well, that's why they play the game.
This is true.
This has been so typical of this year of college basketball, with, you know, six different number ones in the rankings.
Mm-hmm.
For men's basketball, so it I think it kind of fits right in with the pattern we've seen this year. So
this is true.
Yeah,
it's always funny because you know, you watch a team like, for example, a Syracuse, who came in as a 10 seed, who's still alive. They're moving on the second round, and they get to wear their white jerseys tomorrow because Michigan State lost, so they get to be the de facto home team.
Wow.
As a 10 seed.
Wow, that doesn't happen very often.
No, it doesn't.
My goodness.
That's gracious. It's always funny when you get those 12-13 matchups in the second round.
Yeah.
And the 12 seed gets to be the home team.
Yes. We earned it. Well, they did.
They did.
They did earn it.
They did.
They did earn it, yeah. It's amazing that one comment I heard was, this gives credence to the fact that the selection committee didn't do their job well enough. And I don't necessarily agree with that.
Yeah, I disagree. I think it, you know, honestly, I think it's more of an indictment on the one and done rule.
Mm-hmm.
Because these teams that are winning, they don't have any one and done players. They've been together for 4 years. They've got experience, plenty of chemistry, and they're playing at the right time. And a lot of those teams that are going down, full of one and done players.
Right.
I think it's more an indictment of that than anything else.
Yeah. Seniors, people that have stuck together at these smaller colleges for 4 years instead of being gone to the NBA after 1 year.
Exactly. Yeah, talent ultimately will win out. Yeah. But when it comes, I mean, this is a lot of those. This is a first time experience for everybody, pretty much. And the teams that have been playing together longer kind of have the edge. I mean, that's what I've noticed over the last few years.
So when it comes to the prestigious WSMI Cup,
John Michael Marty's still holding on to a lead.
Barely.
He's 2 points ahead of me for second place.
Okay. But he had Michigan State in the
championship.
Yeah.
No, he had him in the championship.
In the championship.
He has he has Kansas winning it all.
Okay.
So that's gonna hurt.
Okay.
But he's obviously not out of it.
That
Michigan State loss took a lot of people out of it. So
To me, there's been about really eight, maybe upwards of 12 bracket buster games here in the first 2 days of the tournament.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know that we've ever had that many in the NCAA tournament before.
Probably not.
I mean, there's
not since the year George Mason went to the Final Four, because that was just a bizarre year where you know, you had a 4 seed, a 3 seed, an 11 seed, and maybe another 3 seed in the Final Four.
Yeah.
So probably since then. But yeah, it's been a crazy year, and 3 11 seeds. You know, the 6 11 matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Only one 6 seed won their opening round game.
Well, we always talk about the 5 12s.
Yeah,
and now 6 11.
6 11.
You know, those are the dangerous ones. Those are the crazy ones. So.
Well, it was on the 5 12 was on the verge of they could have conceivably had all 5 seeds lose. Although Indiana did win theirs handily, but Maryland held on against South Dakota State.
Maryland
yesterday.
Did not look good.
No. I've got them in the championship game, so that's
ooh.
I wasn't confident going in with them either. So,
well, what made you pick them?
Because, well, it was one of those situations where it was a matchup thing. Like each round I went on, because I have them beating Kansas, because I don't think Kansas is going to get to the championship game, because Kansas seemingly every year
they have great choke ability.
Yes,
yeah.
Their choke ability factor is very high.
Yeah.
They're either going to be in the championship game or they're going to lose early. So I have them losing the Sweet 16 to Maryland. And then it was one of those things where it was a matchup thing. Because I think I have Wichita State in the Elite Eight losing to Maryland. So, yeah, that Wichita State-Arizona game, a lot of people picked Arizona, but I was pretty confident Wichita State was going to win.
Well,
I didn't know they were going to blow them out.
Let's face it, on the first day Yale won, that broke a lot of brackets right there. That ruined all... any chance for a perfect bracket.
It did. Well, and the Purdue losing, too.
Yes.
That hurt, because a lot of people, Purdue was a...
Kevin Talley came by yesterday. He says, I give up. I just give up.
He had Purdue losing in the championship to Kansas. Yeah. So he's still technically alive. Broadcaster Katie Bowles had Purdue winning it all, so that hurt her.
Yeah.
Although she did pick Middle Tennessee to beat Michigan State.
Did she really?
She did.
Really?
She did. She's got Middle Tennessee, I think, in the Elite Eight. So,
no kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, I tell you.
She ought to get bonus points for it.
Yeah. It's been a wild and woolly affair early on.
Yeah.
Coming up in the second half of the program today, John Marty had a chance to talk with John Odle earlier this week about a golf tour, which has been set up at golf courses around the area. And we're going to be getting to that. So that's about a 20-minute interview. So we're going to take care of a little business now. We'll come back with more Sports Saturday in just a moment. About 13 minutes after 9 o'clock on this Saturday morning, WSMI Sports Saturday. Terry Tote, Dave Jenkins in with you. Dave, before we get back to college basketball, a couple things I want to mention. Mm-hmm. First off, on the local sports scene, congratulations to the Knights of Lincolnwood Junior High. They won the 7th grade state volleyball tournament on Tuesday night. And
we would have had them in today had some of them not been playing today.
Yes. And I don't think, you know, we're talking about maybe getting them in next week. Probably it's going to be the week after that, because next weekend is the Easter weekend. So
right.
Probably we'll have some trouble with that. But we will eventually try to get the Knights in here. But the Lincolnwood 8th grade Knights playing in the quarterfinal round of the state tournament. They play at 11:15 this morning, a couple hours from now. And they'll take on Colchester West Prairie. Lincolnwood 20-5, West Prairie 13-11. And they're playing at Auburn. So, like usual in the IESA setup, if you win your quarterfinal round game, you play a semi later in the day. So that would be a 1 o'clock match. Meanwhile, in spite of the fact Auburn's hosting the 2A tournament, Auburn Junior High is in the 3A tournament. So they're playing at Tolono Unity Junior High against Deer Creek Mackinac, and they've got a 10 o'clock game here this morning. So good luck to them. And again, we want to remind everybody about the Carlinville Rotary Club All-Star Basketball Classic set for tomorrow. It's at the high school gym at Carlinville. A lot of area players who are seniors. Girls' three-point competition starts at 4, followed by the ball game. The boys' three-point competition at 6:15, followed by the ball game. And the Rotary Club selling lots of goodies from the concession stand. So,
always a good good game
good
to go
game.
To.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Rotary Club does such a great job in Carlinville, as a lot of the civic organizations do around here. So. Okay, now we can get back to March Madness and speaking of March Madness in the high school basketball last night.
You said Simeon lost.
Yeah, Chicago. Where's my cheat sheet here?
That used to be, you know, a guarantee every year. Simeon was going to be in the championship game, and all of a sudden, everyone's caught up with him. Not everyone, but a lot of the Chicago schools.
I think it goes to show the quality of basketball. You know, the public league, you can say whatever you want about, but it's they play basketball.
That's right.
Bennett Academy beat Simeon last night in the second semifinal in 4A, 49-48. Prior to that, Chicago Curry just barely held on to beat Rockford Auburn 55-53. Mm-hmm. So Curry, I think, was ranked number 3 in the state, and Bennett Academy, I don't know where they ended up in the final rankings.
Okay.
But they'll play for the championship. Meanwhile, Belleville Altoff is in the state championship game in 3A. Altoff beat St. Joseph out of Westchester yesterday, 66-62. And Peoria Manual lost.
They lost to
New Lenox Lincolnway, 45-41. So Altoff will take on Lincolnway West for the championship this afternoon in 3A. So, and that'll wrap up basketball for IHSA.
How about that?
We've got our baseball regional assignments.
We got
the sites announced this week, so that kind of tells us spring is coming. So.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Where else can you go and watch, you know, future potential NBA stars than the IHSA 3A and 4A state championship?
And they run such a good tournament. They really do. They run a good tournament. Back to the NCAA tournament.
The NCAA makes a lot of bad decisions, but one of the best decisions they've ever made is staggering these start times and making them available on 4 different channels.
Yeah, yeah. I think for years and years and years before technology got to the point where it was, you know, the cut-in things kind of worked.
Right. Well, it's all you could do at the time.
Yeah, it's all you could do at the time. But now with the with the number of people that have access to cable.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think True TV is probably a problematic for most people because a lot of cable systems probably don't have it.
But they realize that too. They
Some of those games are...
Right. No offense to a lot of the schools playing on True TV, but it's the channel where it's the throwaway game.
That's right. Okay. We'll stick them on True TV.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. We have no place else to put. We'll put them on True TV.
The play-in games were on True TV, so that should tell you enough.
But, you know, the other ones... And by the way, CBS will not have the Final Four and the championship this year. It'll be on TBS.
So. Joining the likes of what Major League Baseball did a couple of years ago with putting it on... Fox Sports 1 instead of Fox. I think they went back to it this past year.
No, they had all the World Series.
Was it World Series? Okay.
But they had playoffs. Yeah, they had...
Fox Sports 1 and TBS.
TBS, yeah. And it's all going to... I think all sports eventually are going to go that way
probably.
To cable. And it'd be off of network TV.
ESPN's finally got a football playoff game, so that could expand.
Yeah.
You know,
and they've
already
got Monday Night Football. So.
Right.
So, you know, I think we're seeing... I think programmers figure the sports crowd is going to have the cable, and the people who don't want to watch sports will watch the regular network. So that's the way it's going.
And they probably think, you know, those who don't have it will probably go to a bar where the bar does have cable.
Sure.
So
it's probably been great for bar business.
Oh yeah,
the big screen TVs.
Well, you know, the business is like Buffalo Wild Wings with the NCAA tournament going on. Those have got to be thriving.
Yeah, pretty interesting commercials for them. Yeah,
this is true. This is true. This is one of the best weekends in sports right
now.
It
really is.
Is the first and second rounds of the tournament.
Yeah. To me, this is comparable back in the Class 1A and 2A era of high school basketball in Illinois when you had the eight quarterfinals teams playing on Friday, eight different teams playing on Friday, and then those who won would advance to Saturday.
Right.
You know, that first day on Friday when you saw eight different schools play, was always such a great day for basketball, for high school basketball.
And a lot
eight teams still play on that first day, but now they're split between two different classes.
Right.
So.
And a lot of high school basketball coaches and players can take a lesson from this tournament and practice your free throws.
Yes.
Make your free throws, because even in the NCAA tournament, they are killing teams. Like the USC Providence game, if you had a chance to watch that game, you know that free throws killed USC. Yeah.
Brick.
You make even one free throw, you're at least going overtime. But they could not make a free throw, so they lost the game. Make your free throws.
You know, that's one of those skills that sometimes just go by the wayside as the game progresses on and takes different form. It's amazing the number of people that can shoot 30-40% from the three-point arc and yet can't make a free throw.
Yeah. You know, it's similar, I guess, similar to like in baseball with Tyler Green a few years ago. He was fantastic at making the difficult, you know, diving play, but couldn't handle a routine ground ball right to him.
Yeah.
You know, they're good when there's movement involved, but when it comes to actually, you know, the game is slowed down and you have to, they're giving you free points, you struggle with it.
So who have you picked now to win the whole thing? Kansas?
I picked North Carolina.
North Carolina
to beat Maryland.
Okay.
So we'll see. Michigan State was one of my final four teams, so that hurt. I don't remember who I had out of the other region. I think I may have had Oklahoma.
Okay.
So we'll see.
I don't know. They
made me a little nervous.
If you're a basketball junkie, this is the weekend, because not only do I watch the NCAA, but I switch back and forth to the high school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you've really got
a
mishmash of basketball to watch this weekend. So
I tell you what, and what else is amazing is the fact that the Missouri Valley, even though as each year passes, you'd think, oh, the conference is continuing to go down, it's getting worse, and yet they've got two teams in the second round.
Yeah. I don't know. It's crazy.
It is. That was one of the better finishes in the tournament.
Do you think they should add some more play-in games? I think we talk about this every year.
Yeah. There was that year a few years ago where they thought about expanding the tournament to 96 teams, which would have been crazy. I would have liked to have seen it just to see how it was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But they decided to expand it to 68 and have four play-in games, which has worked out well. It's turned out to be a good decision. I think you could probably expand it maybe by, four more teams, add two more 16 seeds and two more.
So they have four games now Really, they should double to make eight. Playing.
Yeah, that would work, yeah, too. You could basically have all 16 seeds playing in a play-in game, and then you could have a couple more seeds that weren't that basically the teams that everybody's going to be wanting to watch on play-in night. Because no offense to the 16 seeds, but nobody's really there to watch them.
Yeah. Even on TV, the crowd, not much of a crowd.
Because you don't know much about them.
Yeah.
I mean,
who are these people?
Yeah.
What's the name of that conference again?
Yeah.
There's an actual conference named that?
That's the fun
thing. That's the problem. You know, I'm going, what? I don't follow college basketball nearly as much as a lot of other people do. So I'm very shocked at some of the names of some of these conferences. And
names of some of the colleges, too.
And some of the colleges, like, okay, really? I think somebody was just making that up.
Right.
I really do.
Well, Middle Tennessee, I thought they were Middle Tennessee State, but I guess
they're just
Middle Tennessee.
Mid-Tennessee. Yeah.
Little Rock, I thought, they may have used to have been University of Arkansas Little Rock, but I guess now they're just Little Rock.
No, they're still University.
Are they still University of Arkansas?
Arkansas Little Rock, yeah. I think.
Well, just that's just further.
But I think people just call them Little Rock now.
Yeah.
So.
Further proves my point. Nobody knows. Wow. Nobody knows these teams.
Wow, crazy. Well, March Madness is every bit of that, and that's the great thing about the single elimination tournament as opposed to the professional ranks where you have the best of seven series and then you move on to the next round and that sort of thing. I think there's something truly special about a single elimination tournament, one and done. You know, you've got a lot of pressure.
Right. I do wish they would play a third place game.
That'd be
fun. It'd be fun for everybody.
Sure.
I mean,
you could play the third place game the day before.
Right. That Sunday.
Yeah.
The women's game is going on, but there's not a lot of people paying attention to that either.
Yeah. So I don't know.
You could also play it right before the championship.
Could play it right before the championship game. Of course, the championship game starts late enough the way it is.
It does.
What, like 8:20 or 8:40 or something?
Well, the tournament in day one got delayed so much because that Purdue-Little Rock game, because they were playing in Denver.
Yeah.
And that was one of the sites where the West Coast was going to get the late game. It was the furthest west game of the day, so they didn't get started till probably around 9:30.
Yeah.
Maybe 10. Yeah.
Well, even the high school tournament games in Peoria. You know, they're wrapping up at 10:30 at night.
Yeah. It's crazy.
That's a long haul.
A long day. But I'm sure a lot of the fans don't care. The players don't care either.
Yeah, they don't care. Play ball.
Yeah.
Play ball.
That's right.
It's 25 after 9. We do have an interview coming up here in the second half of Sports Saturday. John Michael Marty had a chance to talk with John Odle about a golf tournament. Golf tour. Around the area.
A tour.
It's a tour.
Not the PGA Tour.
But this is the Central Illinois Tour or something like that. But we'll have more on that coming up in part two. But we need to get to a break. More coming up on Sports Saturday right after this. WSMI Sports Saturday rolls on. Mr. Jenkins, let's talk a little bit about the Cardinals.
Well, Yadi Molina finally swinging the bat in games.
Yeah.
He had been playing, but every time he went up to bat, he was just watching pitches go by.
He was under orders.
Yes.
Take those pitches.
Don't swing.
That's right.
Which, there's a free out for you for the pitcher.
Yeah.
Hopefully nobody walked him.
I don't think so. Yeah. I think it's three straight, and I think the opposition knew it. So.
Yeah.
But had
to be pretty tempting, though.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if some pitchers were just grooving pitches right down the middle. Had to be tempting.
So the Cardinals are... They're not burning up the spring league, but then
they never are.
Nobody really cares.
Yeah.
At this point, I think it's a situation where are the pitchers going to be ready for opening day? That's the thing.
Are the pitchers going to be ready? Are they going to come out of spring healthy?
Yeah.
Which they have relatively, with the exception of Peralta.
Yeah.
And really,
if that's really the only injury they've got, that's good.
No,
year.
That's very good, especially with the guys that they have that are injury prone. I mean, you look at a guy like Tommy Pham and Randall Grichuk, who are going to be key pieces to their team. They've battled injuries in their young careers. Jaime Garcia so far is still healthy, which he's had problems getting out of spring training healthy. Yeah. So it's looked good. So, got to be optimistic about how the way spring is going right now.
Isn't it odd that the Cardinals are amongst the leaders as far as stolen bases are concerned in the spring league? And yet, once the season starts, you know, actually, early in the season last year, they stole a few bases, but then they just shut the whole pipeline down.
I think a lot of it probably has to do with the fact that Matheny wants to be aggressive, but they are just so bad at on the base paths that they start out being aggressive, and they're good early on. But once, you know, other teams start to get in the groove of throwing guys out, then that's when they don't become so good at running.
Something
bases.
We've talked about, gosh, almost every week, how poor a base running team they can be.
They have really been are. Over the last like 3 or 4 years, statistically one of the worst teams on the bases. I mean, even back when they had, you know, Pujols and Rolen and the Molina, and they weren't a bad base running team. They didn't lead the league in stolen bases, but they were a good base running team because they had smart base runners. Now they're being aggressive and careless, and it's costing them.
Yeah,
that's a big reason why their offense has declined, is because they've been so aggressive on the base paths and
they've run into outs.
Yeah. That's probably what Hayward leaving is going to hurt the most, is the base running.
Yeah.
Because he was 22 of 25 stealing bases yesterday. Plus, he'd go first to third, no problem.
Yeah.
Not get thrown out.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a different season.
It is.
And
it is. The final boss has looked good, which is Sonwang Oh, their new Korean reliever.
Yeah. I tend to think that this could be a season of transition for the Cardinals, with John Mozeliak looking all season long to do some deals.
Mm-hmm. There's still a lot of speculation about whether they will make a big trade for a bat at the trade deadline. A lot of the national media thinks they will.
But who that's who's going available? To
be. No, that's the thing. I'm not sure.
Who's available?
Carlos Gonzalez is about the biggest name, the only big name out there, and it's really going to depend. He is under control. It would be a Mozeliak-esque deal because he's under control for another year after this year.
Okay.
But I mean, there's always
what's that? You know, what would it cost the Cardinals?
It's also going to depend on what kind of first half Gonzalez is having. Because last year he did have a great second half. He started off rough, but had a great second half. Talented player, but there's also the stigma of playing at Coors Field. So. How inflated are his numbers? Typically, his home road splits have been very off. He's been very good at home, and not so good on the road.
And about half the RBIs and half the home runs on the road.
Right. Yeah. Last year, it evened out a bit. He did a lot better on the road last year, so that's where teams are thinking, maybe it's different. Maybe he's becoming a better road hitter. We'll see. He is 30 years old too, I think. So. He's right.
Cardinals have enough of those guys.
This is true. Well, and he was injury prone as it was.
Yeah.
He had a problem staying healthy as it is, like Tulowitzki. I mean, that was a big problem with Colorado. With Tulowitzki and Carlos Gonzalez, they should have been competing just about every year.
Yeah.
But, you know, those guys can't stay healthy, and you're down two good offensive
players.
Isn't
that funny how some really terrific athletes just cannot stay healthy?
Yeah.
And I know the Cardinals have addressed this issue this year. They're trying to do some different things as far as stretching and preparation and that sort of thing. And,
well, maybe
and
not
they're hoping that it's going to pay
off. Maybe not spend so much time in the weight room, because that was Grichuk's problem. He was spending a lot of time in the weight room, and it was hurting him. I mean, his was muscle related injuries. So, you know, I think Tim brought it up last week that you never would have seen a lot of the pitchers back in the day, a lot of the players back in the day, spending a lot of time in the weight room. No. I mean, they'd be stretching and staying loose and everything.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we've got Cardinals baseball today and tomorrow on WSMI AM 1540. We have the Cardinals taking on the Red Sox today, the Marlins tomorrow at 11:45 on AM 1540 and FM 106.9, where you can hear all the Cardinal broadcasts this year, all 162 games, 106.9 FM, along with day games on AM 1540. So that's cool.
Every game.
That's
including the playoffs, should they get there.
That's right.
Let's hope we'll have playoff games.
Let's hope we have October games.
Yeah.
October games are kind of fun.
They're pretty fun.
Yeah, they are. They are. Before we get to our interview about the Metro Cup golf competition that's coming up here, John Marty talked earlier this week with John Odle. I want to remind everybody again, the Carlinville Rotary Club All-Star Basketball Class, they've been doing this thing for 14 years now. It's at the high school gymnasium. Girls' three-point competition starts at 4, the game at 4:30. Boys' three-point competition at 6:15, the game at 6:45. And the Rotary Club will provide concessions. They're going to be serving pizza, popcorn, candy, and a variety of drinks.
Time flies.
Yeah. Time flies.
Still, when I think 10 years, I still think the 90s, not 2006. Yeah. It's been 10 years since the Cardinals World Series championship in 2006.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That was the first year of the ballpark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, it was. So, all right. Well, we're going to step aside now. Earlier this week, John Michael Marty had a chance to talk with John Odell about the Metro Cup Golf Competition.
Jim Odell, who is the founder and the guiding force behind the Metro Cup. And the Metro Cup is a fascinating tour of tournaments for golfers in our area. Jim, welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me, John.
The question I have is, and what really intrigued me when I first started reading about this, is I thought, wow, there's actually a setup or a tour of seven tournaments that a guy can play. He can feel like he's in a real season, a real tour, and he can maybe make a little money or he can finish out of the money. Either way, he gets to play golf, some real competition. And it's flighted, so you don't have to be a par shooter, right? Tell me about it.
Well, I started this up 2 years ago and had a buddy of mine that does the live scoring for me. His name's Ron Gillis out of Alton, and I wouldn't be able to do what I do without him. He does all the scoring, and we sat down after we had a tournament at Indian Springs and kind of brainstormed a little bit. And as we started having more and more events, I had players coming to me saying, well, why aren't you having more? So we kind of put our heads together and came up with that concept. I've got a lot of close friends that I play a lot of golf with that had a lot of input into it as well. And we just kind of came up with the Metro Cup idea last year, and everything went off without a hitch, and we had nothing but great feedback, and this year is going to be even better.
Okay, so you have a golf tournament, and a guy says, gee, we ought to have more of these. So you start automatically thinking, well, there's golf courses all around the area. All I have to do is to multiply what I've done here. Hopefully we can get everybody on the same like-mindedness, and we can put together a group. But now then you have to find the weekends that are open, and you have to figure out how do we make this run like a tour. So the question next is, how long did it take you to set up this seven course tour? How long did it take?
Well, I'd been playing in individual tournaments for close to 20 years, so I pretty much knew what events were on what weekends going into it. And when we started looking at the schedule, all I had to do is contact the courses that were interested in having us or we were interested in going to and see if we could make a date work. So having the knowledge of when tournaments were and what we wanted to do, was a pretty easy transition.
Now, the first tournament's coming up relatively soon. Before I get into that, though, I want to ask, if a person wants to play, do they have to play in all seven, or can they pick and choose and play in two or three or four?
They can pick and choose. Nobody's required to play in all of them. The Metro Cup Series is designed for the open division players, but in all but one tournament, we do have flighted division opportunities for players of all abilities, and that's gone over really well as we've grown as well. So you don't have to play in all of them. You can play in as many as you want or as few as you want.
Now, the Oak Brook Open is coming up in Edwardsville on April 16th. That's a month from today. Mm-hmm. And the Open Division, tell me about some of the really good golfers in this area.
As far as the Open Division there, I couldn't really begin to start on how many good players are there. We've got Mike Surrey, who's the club pro there at Oak Brook. He's playing, and he's one of the best playing professionals in the area when you take in consideration Illinois, Missouri, all the states that surround. He's one of the top-level players in the area.
We're talking guys that can break par on a regular basis in this area.
He's capable of shooting in the low 60s anywhere he goes, let alone his own home course. Most of the guys in the Open Division, par is a bad day for them, so you've got to go out and play pretty well in order to finish high in the Open Divisions.
So one of the things that I was talking about when I was talking about you coming in today and telling people they got the opportunity to go watch some very good golf without buying a all-week ticket and driving a couple hundred miles and spending several hundred dollars. They can go watch these guys play as well, correct?
Of course. There's no admission. They've got carts available at most all the courses that we play at. And I've played golf for a lot of years, and I'll find myself watching as I play with these guys. They're that good, and it's a business. And they go about it different than we do. They've got a game plan going in, and you can tell the difference between a good player and somebody that just hits the ball.
Oh, sure. Do you guys walk the course, or you ride carts?
We're riders. We don't walk. Okay. We require people to ride simply to keep the pace of play going. And, you know, there's plenty of tournaments out there you can walk, but ours aren't one of them.
Now, you say that you've got all of the tournaments are flighted with the exception of one. If a guy wants to, say a guy shoots 100, I mean, you got 10 or 20 guys that shoot 100 that are in these tournaments, so does everybody get an opportunity to win a trophy or make a little prize money, or how does it work?
Well, in the flighted divisions, say, for example, we have 50, 60 guys in the flighted division, we'll have four flights, and we'll base the flights off of their scores in the first round, and you see scores ranging from par to, you know, mid-90s, things like that. So there's a place to play for anybody that can break 100 on a consistent basis.
Okay. Sounds good. Four flights, you say?
Typically in most flighted tournaments, we'll have at least four.
Our guest is Jim Odell, talking about the Metro Cup, series of golf tournaments for not only open players, very good players, but for the weekend guys as well. Jim, you've got this series of seven tournaments, Oak Brook, first one in Edwardsville. If somebody wants to play, they never heard about it before, tell me, how do they get involved?
All the information, entry fees, dates, anything that the players would need is on my website. It is www.odelgolf.com. And anything that they may need, past results, tee times for the upcoming tournaments, everything's on that website. So if they're interested in playing, you can get the information off of there.
You mentioned you got usually 50, 60 guys or more in the open part. You've got room for a bunch more. I guess if somebody wants to put three or four of his friends together, say, hey, let's go be part of something and really get involved in some competition, be a fun day. Some of the tournaments are 2 days. Some of them are one. You got a one-day tournament in Edwardsville. They're all of it open except for the Indian Springs one, which is an invitational tournament, you say?
Correct. We started that one 5 years ago. This will be our fifth year, and that was something that we did late fall 1 year and had a bunch of our friends join together and play in it, and it's grown every year, and we're expecting over 70 players this year. It's a really fun tournament.
When you have a group of guys who make up your core pro guys and good, very good amateurs who play in your open division, I imagine there's a fair amount of camaraderie that builds up and a little bit of gamesmanship. It's the competition's got to be every bit as serious as what we watch on TV on the weekend, isn't it?
The first round, the morning rounds or the first round of tournaments are kind of laid back, and you know, you're having a good time but trying to shoot a good round as well. But that second 18 when we repair, depending on your scores, that's when it starts getting serious, and you can see guys dial it in a little bit better, and it gets serious on the back nine if you're in the hunt. It's a lot of fun.
I can imagine so. Tell me, what kind of publicity have you guys, and I don't mind mentioning other media, what kind of publicity have you been able to garner from your tournament over the period of time, or is that something you're really going to try and delve into this year? You mentioned Kyle. That was what I was leading to also there.
Kyle and the Journal have really helped us grow what we're doing. He covers almost every event, if not all of them, and he plans on doing that again this year. He does an in-depth story, gets player interviews, even came to the Metro Cup and interviewed all the players that were in that tournament. And he's been instrumental in helping us get this thing going, and we wouldn't be where we are without him. And we look forward to working with him, and we'll see him and Mary and Grace at Oak Brook, and or not at Oak Brook, but Indian Springs. She'll come out and be our honorary starter, and we race as much money as we can for her and their fight to find a cure for INAD, and can't wait to see them, and we really appreciate all they do for us.
Well, I if you got Grace involved, you got something good there. That's wonderful. What I wanted to ask you next, let's talk a little bit about you. I mean, I know obviously you come from a golfing family. You probably played in high school. I know you played in the Drysdale tournament up in Springfield. How did golf become a big part of your life?
When I realized baseball wasn't going to be.
wasn't going to be it? Okay.
Yeah, I went to college to play baseball and had some arm problems. And I played in high school, but I wasn't very good. And when I had nothing left, I decided to put everything I had into golf and trying to get better. And ended up playing college golf the last 3 years I was there. And did pretty well, and I've been doing it ever since. I've got two competitive brothers that keep me going, and my dad plays, and now my two boys are playing, and I don't see it stopping anytime soon.
No, that's for sure. What do you find in terms of when you're playing with your family? Do you have them involved in the tournaments too, or are you your brothers, your dad, do they get involved here too?
They have all played in tournaments. Andy's playing in the Metro Cup. My brother Rob is down in Memphis, and you know, with him having his kids, it's tough for him to make commitments like that, but he tries to get up when he can. And when we all get together, it's pretty fierce, and we give each other a lot of grief while we're playing.
You mentioned that you added Timber Lakes this year, and how did that come about, and how did you choose the golf courses that make up the tournament?
Well, this will be our third year at Timber Lakes. The event that we added this year is Oak Brook.
Oh, Oak Brook, okay.
But we've been at Timber Lakes for 3 years, and I actually work for All Steel Products and the Favor family. And Brandon and Lindsay kind of opened their arms to us going out there. They also own Timber Lakes, so that was kind of a seamless transition, and that's probably our biggest tournament of the year as far as numbers. And we make it kind of an event with the players and their spouses having dinner and, you know, a DJ and things like that Saturday night. That's probably one of my favorite tournaments of the year.
Okay. You've got an open division, and you've got the four flights that you mentioned. Is there prize money involved? I'm assuming there is.
In the open division, you know, if you're a professional, you have the option to take cash, but we also protect the amateurs. So if you like to play in the USGA stuff and the CDGA stuff, we have the amateur declaration forms, and what we'll do is we'll get you a gift card to Dick's Sporting Goods or Golf Galaxy, whatever, you know, whatever the player would like to do in order to keep his eligibility. So we make sure our bases are covered there.
Flighted guys have a chance to win anything?
Flighted guys can take cash or merchant or you know, a gift card as well. So, you know, if you don't have any aspirations of doing the U.S. Amateur and you want to come out and try and win some money, you're certainly more than welcome to take the cash. The okay. cash is always the first option.
That sounds good. Now, I notice you also have you have Godfrey, you have Alton, you have Collinsville. And of course, Edwardsville. So the Metro East is a big part of the area. How did you happen to add those courses, or were they? Had you been playing down in those areas for a time, or?
I started playing down in the Alton and Metro East area about 10 years ago. But as far as how we got the courses, I was pretty familiar with a lot of the pros at the courses that we're going to, and actually Mike and I talked last fall about having a tournament out at Oak Brook, so that was an easy fix there. We came up with that in a matter of a couple weeks, and we're actually full already there. We don't have any spots open, and like I said, as far as the Alton area, they've always been really, really, really nice to me, so I wanted to try and help out a couple of their tournaments they have going on down there, and we'll see how that goes this year.
And you culminate your season with a Labor Day tournament down at Greenville, the country club there. How did that come into the picture?
Well, I'd been playing in the Nevinger for 15 years, and Mark Bollinger actually runs that tournament now, and he approached me about having the Open Division come to their existing tournament. So that was an easy transition as well. All we did was extend the invitation to playing professionals and PGA professionals, and we had a great turnout there. I think we had 35 Open Division players there last year, and it was neat to see their members on the balcony watching us come in, and they were really excited to have us.
Well, good. Our guest is Jim Odle. We're talking about the Metro Cup, a series of golf tournaments in the Metro East and Mid-Illinois area for not only excellent golfers, PGA professionals, and really good low-scoring amateurs, but also flighted divisions for guys who just love to play on Sunday or whatever. Jim, why did you do this?
Well, like I had mentioned earlier, I'd been playing in singles tournaments for 20 years and just loved the competitive aspect of playing my own ball against other guys. And over the years, they kind of fell off one by one. You know, the tournaments got more expensive and the money getting paid out was less. So finally, I was like, you know, if I want to playing something that I think's worth my time, why not come up with my own? And that's why I did it, is I wanted to play in tournaments that I enjoyed and the formats I enjoyed and with the kind of players I wanted to play against. So that's why I did it.
Well, I guess that makes sense. Now, and obviously, because I hear guys say all the time, I like to play golf because rather than a team sport, it's me. I'm responsible for it. And it's me against the course. Well, it's fine to be me against the course, but it's also fun to say, to have some bragging rights too, right?
Well, yeah, and that's the difference between what we're doing and, you know, the 3- and 4-man scrambles all over the area is... they're fun and they're somewhat competitive, but at the end of the day, you've still got two or three other guys that can bail you out on a bad shot. Whereas if you're playing your own ball and you hit a bad shot, there's nobody to blame but yourself. And that's part of the fun, is trying to minimize those mistakes and
sure,
play solid golf. And at the end of the day, you don't have to split your money with anybody. So that's one of the appealing aspects of playing your own ball.
And I'm assuming when you're playing in a tournament like this, you're not playing winter rules.
Well, it
you
depends
hit it on, where it lies.
Yeah, it depends on the course. A lot of times we will play it where it lies, especially in the rough. I don't believe in penalizing a guy for hitting the fairway, so a lot of times we will let you touch your ball in the fairway. But you know, if you're in the bunker in the rough, we're pretty much playing it where it lies, and it's a different game.
Okay. Well, I mean, obviously, it's a tournament. There's stuff on the line here, and there's money involved, so. No, you can't scoot it up from around that tree. You got to play it from there, right?
Correct.
Interestingly, you can't just play in tournaments every time you go play. You got to practice. You got to play for fun. You got to play to get better. Where's your home course? Where do you play?
Well, like I said, the company that I work for, All Steel Products out of Staunton, they also own Timber Lakes. So they've been... great to me and their employees. We get full playing privileges as well as range privileges. So if I want to stop out after work and hit a bucket of balls, which is about all I have time for, I'm able to do that, get in and out quickly. And, you know, that's a very nice perk that I have with them. And speaking of Timber Lakes, they're actually running their special right now, Monday through Friday, unlimited golf for $160 a year. In 7 days, it's $260 a year, and all you have to pay on top of that is your cart rentals. So I think it's an average of 15 rounds a year. If you play that, you're going to come out ahead. And I think it's one of the best deals around, and I think we got one of the best courses from Springfield to St. Louis. So it's a very nice facility. Go out there and visit, and if you're looking for a place to play all year, that's the place to go.
That is a nice place. I got to play it, I think, twice last year is all, but this radio thing keeps me really hopping, I got to tell you. So, but I'm glad of that, too. Let me ask you, you mentioned Timber Lakes as being the place where you play. Timber Lakes, in relation to the other courses in the area, is also, I guess you could probably put Oak Terrace in that range, maybe Fox Creek. I mean, you're talking courses that demand a fair amount of shot-making ability. I mean, these are some tough courses.
Well, you know, a lot of these courses are tailored towards players of all abilities, which is great. The aspect of the blue tees, then the white tees, and the senior tees make it fun for all for players of all ages to play. And when I play a course, I want to play everything it's got. So, you know, the Timberlakes and the Fox Creeks, they've got the tees to accommodate what I want, and I think they do a great job of, you know, catering to players that, you know, want to go out and have a good time as well.
Okay, now the first tournament coming up, we're going to talk about this again to make sure everybody knows. The first tournament coming up of the Metro Cup competition is the Oak Brook Open on April 16th in Edwardsville. Now tell me, again, how a person can go about signing up for this if they've not been there before?
Well, unfortunately, that one's full already.
It's full already.
That one's full already. We don't have any spots. You can get on a waiting list, which... you know, people have emergencies and things like that pop up. So if you're interested in getting on that, all you have to do is log on to our website, which is odelgolf.com, and get in touch with us that way. But anytime you want to enter a tournament, all you got to do is get in touch with either myself or the golf course, and they'll take care of you and get you set up.
So actually, the first one then that you can join in on is the Godfrey Open.
Correct.
Coming up in June 4th and 5th, or the Timberlakes Midsummer Classic, right?
Yeah, now the Midsummer Classic will fill up early as well, so if you want to go play that course, it's a great tournament. It's a lot of fun. I would get your entry in as quick as possible. You don't have to pay now. You can pay the day of, but that tournament will fill up within 2 or 3 weeks after us announcing it. So,
well, I'm thinking I might get in that Cloverleaf Go Low tournament on that one-day tournament. So we'll try and make that one myself.
Well, we'll be happy to have you.
All right.
What you got.
Now, one final thing, the last thing I want to mention. Again, this is not only for the top players, because you have flighted divisions. Anybody who would like to experience what it's like to play competitive golf with a bunch of people, they are welcome to get in.
Absolutely. Yep. Okay. We won't turn anybody down based on playing ability. Obviously, you know, as far as the Open Division, we've got a pretty solid core group of guys, and we want to grow the singles golf tournaments around here, and that's what we're trying to do, get people playing their own ball again.
Do you see the possibility, as time goes on, to have more than 7 tournaments? Do you see it getting more?
I've got courses approaching me every year asking to come to their course. The bottom line is I've got a little boy. I've got 2 little boys, AJ and Layton, so I don't want to be doing this for...
Every weekend
well,
of the
I don't,
summer?
I kind of just wanted to get this thing started, and hopefully somebody younger and with the excitement that I have about the game of golf will come to me and say, hey, when you're ready to step down, I'd like to take it over, and that's what I'm looking for.
The only reason I ask that question is because if you've got tournaments filled up already... the stands to reason you've probably got room for more tournaments to allow more players too.
Well, and I'm sure we do, but I don't want to dilute it as well. You know, I'd like to keep the events that we have. I'd like to keep them growing. The last thing we want to do is burn people out.
Well, sure.
And golf's not it's an expensive hobby, so you know, I think 7 or 8 tournaments is about as many as you're going to see from us as far as what I'm doing. And like I said, anybody that's willing to take it over here in the next year or so is more than welcome to.
Well, Jim Odell, I sure appreciate you coming out and talking about it, letting us know what's going on.
It's good to hear from Jim and John Michael, and that sounds like it's an interesting little setup there with the tournaments at the area golf courses.
So, yeah, absolutely.
If you need more information, you can give Jim Odell a call and give John Michael Marty a call. He'll set you up too. So,
and if you missed that interview,
yeah,
I'm sure you can catch it online.
It'll be podcast.
Yeah,
we'll have it as a podcast. That's right.